I'd like to look a little bit at, I often wonder, what does God delight in? What does He has no pleasure in? I was reading through some verses in the Bible, and it struck me as I was reading some of these verses that I was asking myself that, what does God like? What does he hate? What does He delight in? What does He have pleasure in doing? I want to look at some of the verses in the Bible that point in this direction. But first, let's look at a verse in Ezekiel chapter 18. We're going to break into the chapter of Ezekiel chapter 18 and we'll read verse 23. And then we're going to read verses 30 to 32 of the same chapter. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Here God tells us, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his way and live?" God tells us He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't have a smile on his face when man is going to be destroyed in a few months. He has no delight in that. But as you look at these verses that I'm going to share with you, you're going to see the word return, turn, in mostly all the verses. And we have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with how we understand the word return or turn, because God gives us a command to turn to Him. But as we know, according to the Bible, that we can't turn to God of our own will. God has to turn us to Himself. And if you look at verse 30 of the same chapter here, God tells us, "Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his way, saith the Lord God. Repent." And as we know that, to a certain degree, mankind could repent, but it's not in a God-glorifying way. True repentance is a gift of God, as the Bible tells us. Repent and turn. See, you see the command of God? Repent to me. He's saying to us, repent and turn. We can't repent in a God-glorifying way, and we of ourselves can't turn to God the way that God has commanded us to turn to Him. God has to turn us to Himself. Later on, we're going to look at a few verses that explain turning and return to Him. So repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. You see the command of God, from all our sins. God is telling us to repent and turn. Can any one of us do this of ourselves? Mankind, the Bible tells us, we're dead in trespasses and sins, aren't we? We of ourselves, we can't do it. It says, from all our transgressions, so iniquity, which is sin, shall not be your ruin. You see. And if you look at this word ruin, if you look up in the concordance, this word ruin is translated in other parts of the Bible as stumbling block. Not stumbling stone. Christ is a stumbling stone. He's a rock of offense. But here, this word ruin is translated as stumbling block. If you will look at this verse here, if you look at Romans 9, let's see the difference. Turn over to Romans 9. God tells us in Romans 9 that see the difference between the two, the stumbling block and the stumbling stone. In Romans 9, verse 30. Romans 9, verse 32, I believe. Yes. Romans 9, verse 30. Let's start at verse 31. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, which is Christ. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." So you see, the stumbling stone is Christ. The stumbling block is like a false gospel. You know, things of that nature, that's what it is. You see, the false gospel or sin, it's a stumbling block. So you see how it's used in Ezekiel. Let's go back over to Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Let's read it again. Wherefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Sin in our life can be a stumbling block, a stumbling stone, a stumbling block in our life. Sin or a false gospel. And it says, verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions. See, God is repeating himself again from verse 30. He said, we have turned from all our transgression. And here he says again, cast away from you all your transgressions. All the sins you have committed, we have to cast them away. And we can't do it. Of ourselves, we can't do it. Whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart. Now, how can any one of us do that? It's a command of God that we have to make ourselves a new heart. See, and we can't do that. God has to create a new heart within us and a new spirit. He's telling us to do these things to ourselves. We can't do it. And it says, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So you see that God has no pleasure of destroying people. None whatsoever. Remember, we're looking at this word pleasure. What does he has pleasure in? What does God doesn't have no pleasure in doing? And you see one here that he has no pleasure in them that die in their iniquity. None whatsoever. It says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. So you see, he has no delight, and that word pleasure there could be translated as delight. He has no delight in the death of the wicked. None whatsoever. No pleasure in doing these things to men, but we know that God has to be faithful to his promises and commitments in the Bible, because he tells us in the Bible, the wages of sin is death. He has to do what he has written in the Bible. He has to do. The wicked will be destroyed. There is no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt. And he has no pleasure in doing so. That's why he commands us to turn to him. You see, and through all this, you see God's mercy there too. God's mercy is there for all mankind. But, you know, of ourselves, we want nothing to do with it. That's why God's election program is so wonderful for us. Because as we know that if God didn't elect the people for himself, not one of us would want to have nothing to do with God. You see, turn also over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 9. 2:11. See the same idea there. Ezekiel chapter 33. Here God tells us, verse 9. We're going to break into the chapter again. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked from his way to turn. See, remember I said earlier, we're going to see this word return and turn over and over in these verses. To turn from it. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. You see? You know, we could turn from our sin as a form of repentance. Some things we can understand, some things we can do. But that will not save us. We can repent to a certain degree. But our works will not save us. It will never save anyone. We could turn from that sin in our life. We could stop doing this. We could stop doing all sorts of things. But that in of itself will not save us. It will not save us. We can repent, but not the way that God tells us in the Bible that we ought to repent. God has to grant us repentance. And verse 10 says, wherefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus speak he, saying. So God is telling him, say these things to the people. If our transgression and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So you see, God is telling us he has no pleasure in sending people into hell. None whatsoever. But that the wicked turn. See, saying turn again from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? You see God's mercy there? Turn ye from your wicked ways. And we turn to Christ. And we beseech him for his mercy. Because it's the only one who could help us. He's the only one who is qualified to forgive us of our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you look in verse 10. See, in our sins we're simply pining away. That word pine away here, God uses it in... It's used in other parts of the Bible as we consume away. We're just consuming away in our sin. If you will look at Zechariah, I believe it's used that way in Zechariah, Haggai. After Haggai is Zechariah. I think it's chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 12. That word pine away there is used in this way. Let's pick up the context here. Verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away. Same word as pine away. So consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away, you see, in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. You see, is that same word that God used in the Bible as pine away? We're just simply pining away in our sin. Our sin, we're going to be consumed in our sin if we don't turn from our wickedness, if we're not born again. So you see, we're just simply just pining away in our sins. God commands us to turn to him. Turn ye in Ezekiel chapter 33. Turn. It's a command of God. Like you give us command to repent or to believe the gospel. These things, we can't do it. You know, God tells us that God is the one who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, so you see how desperately we need a Savior. We need desperately the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. You see, or else we're headed for destruction. We're headed for destruction. Doesn't make a difference who that person is, who they are, or wherever it is. You know, God means what he says. He's not a respecter of persons, as we know. And look again at another verse where this is used. Same book of Ezekiel, chapter 4. See the same idea there. And pine away, consume away. In Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 17. It's the same idea. Verse 17. That they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity. See, mankind, God hasn't forgiven you of your sins. Simply, you're going to consume away in your iniquity. Sin will be our ruin. You know, sin, mankind, unsaved man, he delights in sin. You know, sin has certain pleasures to it, and that's why one of the reasons why we love our sin. You know, it brings certain pleasures to our flesh, you know, but yet it's going to be the ruin of unsaved man on the and during those 5 months. You know, because as you said, God must bring to mankind to justice. And if you will look at the interlinear, you translated pine away as rotting. Mankind is just rotting away in his sin. You see, sin is awful. Sin is terrible, you know. And as we look at today's world, what do we see? Sin is just abounding more and more in society. Mankind is just having his day. But we know that God will bring mankind into judgment on that day. Let's turn over to Jeremiah, another familiar passage. In Jeremiah 31. Remember, we look at turning. And this is a beautiful verse. And that is actually another familiar verse to all of us, most of us. Here, God is telling us that He does the turning. Remember, we saw all those verses in the Bible of turning, turning. God commands to turn to Him, turn to Him. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that we should turn and that we should repent and all these things. But we see that in Jeremiah 31:18, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me. This ought to be our prayer to God. God, turn me today. Turn thou me today. Because we can't do it of ourselves. So we are beseeching God that God would turn me to Himself. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Remember, God tells in Ezekiel, turn ye, turn ye. It's a command of God, but we have to understand that we can't turn to God in that way of ourselves. So we should recognize the fact that we can't turn and say, Oh Lord, turn thou me. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. See, it's God's doing. God's doing. And after that, I was instructed. Instructed out of what? The Bible. The Bible is given for our instruction and training in righteousness. I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. It's my sin. You see how beautiful the gospel is? You see? And God tells us that He delights in mercy. Let's look at where was it found again? In Micah. Let's look at Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Before Micah is before Nahum. It says, Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, which is his people? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we hear God, what are the things he delights in? God delights in mercy. And verse 19 says, He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. See God's mercy? It's God's mercy that He does save the people for Himself. Let's look at another verse, Psalm 80. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 80. Psalm chapter 80, verse 18 and 19. Here we read, So will not we go back from thee, quicken us. You know, make us alive. We're asking God to quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. You see, the only way we're going to call upon God's name the right way, unless God is working in us. In verse 8, turn us again. See the prayer of God's people, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So this is God who does the turning, and He's the one who do all the work of saving someone. We cannot take any credit for it. Nothing whatsoever. Turn over to Psalm 5. We're going to read a few verses over here in Psalm 5. Here God tells us, Psalm 5, starting at verse 1. Psalm 5, starting at verse 1. Here we read, Give ear to my words, O Lord. consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. God has no pleasure in sin, in wickedness of man. So you see, but he has no pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. You see, he has no pleasure in wickedness whatsoever. He has no pleasure in that the wicked, he has to throw mankind in hell to destroy them forever. He has no delight in these things. And he tells us here that he hates all workers of iniquity, all workers of sin. God, and he says, verse 6 says, thou shalt destroy them. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. See, he has no pleasure in these things whatsoever. Let's look at another verse, Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. Here he tells us, he delighteth not in the strength of an horse. You know, as you see horse, we see strength, and that the horse is strong. I say, he has no delight in that. Who made the horse? Who gave the horse the strength? God does. You see, so he delighteth not in the strength of an horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. You could be in the prime of health. You could be, you know, the world looks at the athletes and the world's strongest man, you know, and the world is mesmerized by the, oh, this man could lift up 600 pounds. Wow. And mankind is fascinated by that. But who made man? Who gave man that body or the strength or whatever? God did. He has no delight in these things. There's a verse in the Bible, God tells us a verse in the Bible that man at his best stage is but vanity. You could be in the prime of health, and what are you? You're nothing. You know, what does it take? Here you see somebody who's healthy as a horse in the prime of life, and he gets stung by a mosquito with the West Nile virus, or he catches the flu. You know, what happens to him? No. You know, I know us guys, when we get sick, you know, we turn to be a baby, right? But you see how, you think that person was strong, did you? And yet he gets stung by a mosquito and he catches the virus and he's laid up in bed for a week. He's so weak, sometimes he can't even get out of bed. And, you know, God has no delight in that. None whatsoever. Let's look at Psalm 39. That tells us about that. Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 5, I believe. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man as his best state is altogether vanity. We're nothing. We're not but dust and ashes. We're taken out of the earth and we return to it. We're nothing. God doesn't delight in how strong a man is or whatever the case is. No. What does he delight in? Look at Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Start reading at verse 4. Psalm 149. We're going to start reading at verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. See who God takes pleasure in? He takes delight in his people. His elect, you see. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That's what God delights in. He's elect. The ones who He is come, His sins are paid for. Let the saints be joyful in glory. And who are the saints? God's people. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. See, if you're a child of God, the praises of God are going to be in our lips. You see? And a two-edged sword in their hand, which is, we know, the Word of God. You see? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgments written. His honor have all his saints. This honor have all his saints. And now it's an honor and a great privilege to have the Word of God in our hands. It's a great, and only his people, truly, his elect has it. God's, those who are truly a child of God, he says, praise ye the Lord. This is what the Lord delights in. You know, that's it. Look at another verse. Look at Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. See, first we saw what he doesn't delight in. He has no pleasure in that. Now we see that God has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all things, these things. And I know how I've seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. So you see that God has pleasure in uprightness. That's what he delights in. He has no pleasure in iniquity, in wickedness. None whatsoever. But we see that he has pleasure in his people. He has pleasure in uprightness. He delights in all these things. He delights in mercy. So you see that God is, we could see things in the Bible that he delights in. Let's look at another passage in Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 22 to 26. There we read. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 22 to 26. Speak thus, says the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as a handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which execute loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You see what God delights in? Let's read it again. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this. And true believers, they're going to glory in the Lord. You see, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You see, what do we have to glory in of ourselves? Nothing. If God has truly saved you, we glory in him for saving us, for giving us this wonderful salvation. That I am the Lord, which execute loving kindness. He delights in loving kindness. You see, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all of them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. So you see what God delights in verse 24. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. He delights in these things. You see, now if you would examine these things throughout the Bible, you see, relates to salvation and so forth. Let's take it a little bit further. In that, if you are a child of God, God has given you a new heart. If you're born again, we should delight in the same things that God delights in, because He's given us of His Spirit. He's given us a heart like Christ. So we're going to delight in what God delights, and we're going to hate the things that He hates. He has no pleasure in wickedness and sin. And we should have no pleasure in sin. When we see sin in our lives, what should we do? Turn away from it. Repent of it. And God tells us in the Bible to crucify the flesh. You see, we are to love the same things He loves and hate the things that He hates, because we're like Him. We've taken on the name of Christ. We're Christians. We're Christ-like. So we should delight in what He likes. Let's look at Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. You know, we're going to delight in the Bible. We're not going to be able to put it down at all, because it's God who's speaking to us. He's speaking to us, and He's going to instruct us from the Bible. We're going to love the Word of God, because His Word is our delight. We're going to be delighting in the Bible. And if we're not delighting in the Bible, then we have to ask a fair question: what do I love? Let's look at Isaiah 29, verse 18. Let's start reading at verse Isaiah 29, verse 18 to 20. Here God tells us, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." And we know the meek are those who are saved. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." You know, we rejoice in Christ, because when we become a child of God, we understand what joy is. There's no other book we would want to read other than the Bible. There is nothing we delight in doing in spending time in God's Word. And let's read verse 20. "For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for their iniquity are cut off." But we delight in God. God now has become our joy, or all in all, if you want to say that. That's what we delight in. Look at another verse. Jeremiah chapter 15. That's another familiar passage. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. Here we read, "O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy longsuffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name." You see, we're called by His name, "O Lord God of hosts." So you see, the Word of God is the joy and the rejoicing of God's people's heart. You see, we join that. We rejoice the fact that the Bible is true, and God is faithful to His promises and commitments in the Bible, and we delight in that. We rejoice in God's Word. Let's look at another passage in Psalm. When you read through Psalm 119, this is Psalm 119:77. There God tells us in Psalm 119:77, God says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." The law of God is a whole Bible, and it's the delight of God's people's heart. You know, are we delighting in God's word? Because if we say we are born again, that's what we want to do, spend our life doing. It's not to go after the things of this life, because it's vanity, it's temporal. It's just here for a moment, but God's word stands forever. It's true. It's absolutely true. And that's what, if you're a child of God, we are to delight in.